did, you know, it really did.
In the words of Miss Gladys Warren, I bucked up again, didn't I? I know y'all have Ezekiel 18, is it right?
No, it's Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8.
I know you do. And if you don't, I'm gonna tell you what's in it.
Ezekiel, the 8th chapter. Old Testament book of Ezekiel.
Amen.
8th chapter. Begin reading at the first verse. Read from the New King James. It says that it came to pass, and I'm sorry, here's some pages. Find your place. It came to pass in 6 year, in 6 months. On the 5th day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire. From the appearance of his waist and downward, fire, and from his waist and upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. He stretched out the form of his hand, and he took me by the lock of my hair. The Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door, north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was there, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there north of the altar gate was the image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they're doing? The great abomination that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again, you will see greater abomination. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall, and when I dug into the wall, there was a door. Yeah. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in, and I saw there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. There stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and there stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. As you take your seat this morning, I want to speak to you from the subject. Just like last week, the series is God Has the Power to Show You That He's God. I'll talk to you from the same subject, real life, real talk. Real life, real talk. This world is not a plaything now. It's getting real serious out here. It's been serious for a long time. People are disrespectful. People are rude. And people are downright hateful. The difference will be just in the world, but a lot of times it's us here in the church. Those of us who are in positions of authority who should be a protecting people, that are abusing that power, and so now you have to be very careful who you're dealing with.
That's right.
Every policeman in a police uniform may not be one who protects and serves.
Right.
Every preacher in a robe and a Bible may not be the loving, kind servant that God has called to set his face like flint to preach the word of God. Every teacher who sits behind a desk with an apple on top of it may not be the one who you think that they are. You all know it when y'all go out to transact business and you see people in customer service who should be kind, who should know their business, who should understand what's going on. They're uninformed, they are hateful, and most of the time they are rude. And they're right. I wish I had somebody. And so now we're living in a time that's turned upside down. And what we have going on is that God has a mandate on his people that he has called us to be a certain way. to act a certain way and to treat each other a certain
That's
way.
Right. Yes.
But what we have done, instead of us influencing the world, the yes. world has influenced the church.
Amen.
But as I say that, I thought about what Ezekiel was saying in this text. Actually, it's not that way. The people in the church don't need influence from the world because when you turn from God, the people in the church are worldly. Amen. So I'm not going to put it on the world. I'm just going to tell you today, this is real life and real talk. We put it on the world, but we do what we want to under the guise of religion, and we still ain't nothing but religious devils. The only difference is we tote Bibles and we got wet in the water of baptism, but we still have not changed our ways. Ezekiel, the prophet, was a prophet that prophesied in captivity. Then you have to go back to the prophet Jeremiah, who warned the people of Israel that trouble was coming because the people had disobeyed God. So Jeremiah was actually in Jerusalem when he prophesied about the coming of Babylon. And after the people did not listen, God in 596 to 598 B.C. in three waves allowed Babylon to come to Israel or Jerusalem and take over the temple and the country and the people. Amen. Amen. And then you find Ezekiel, who in the third wave, he was taken away, amen, to Babylon. And he's prophesying from Babylon. Notice what I said. He's a prophet of God. He's called of God, but he's in exile. He's a slave, amen, and he's in Babylon, amen. But God is still using him, amen, even though he's in captivity. Now, I want you to understand, when I get ready to break this text down, that this man is 598 miles from his home country. If you look it up, from Jerusalem to Babylon, it's almost 600 miles, yet God still has the power to show you that he's God. Look what he does in this text. In his text, it says that the brother in the sixth year, or the sixth month, on the fifth day. Well, you got to go back to chapter 1 because he's called in the first chapter. It said he was sitting by the river Chebar, and the Spirit of God lifted him up out of himself, placed him in the Spirit, and showed him the Holy Spirit in the temple. Now move forward with me to chapter 8. It's the same type of vision that he saw when God called him into the ministry. But this time he's in the ministry, Brother Jimmy, but he's sitting in his house with the elders of Judah. Now notice what I just said. I just told you he was in Babylonian captivity. The elders and himself was in captivity, and when they was in Judah or Jerusalem, they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, but now God has shown them that he's not playing anymore, and now in Babylon, they're coming to the prophet's house to hear a word from the Lord. And the prophet said, I was sitting, and the hand of the Lord fell upon me there, and then he saw the likeness of God. Amen. Said fire was on him. Fire was on him from the waist up, and fire, Sister Enoch, was on him from the waist down. Amen. Because when you see the fire of God, it's for purification, but it's also for judgment. When you see the fire of God, God is not playing with you anymore. Amen. You can't pray your way out of it. You can't buy your way out of it. When God get tired of your mess, when God get ready to really save your soul, mama can't pray you out, daddy can't pray you out, the preacher can't pray you out, you got to go through the fire. He saw the brightness of it. He said, the Lord stretched out his hand and grabbed me by the lock of my hair and lifted me up in the Spirit. That sounds kind of funny, don't it? Till I think back when I was 7 or 8 years old, got up for one Christmas morning, ran out of the Christmas tree, and just opened a gift, and it was a viewfinder. Y'all know that about a viewfinder? And I took that old red viewfinder about this big,
put the little white disc in it with all the slides on it, and stuck it down in there, and all of a sudden, I was transformed from Yanceyville, North Carolina, to Paris, France, amen, to Italy, wherever I clicked and it went, that's where my mind went to. And see, now, they've gotten fancy now. Folk with all these telephones and everything, they'll give you a mask called virtual reality. Whatever you want to do and wherever you want to go, your mind can take you there. Amen. And some of y'all, when y'all get them viewfinders, y'all mind sure don't be stayed on Jesus. Amen. You can take that viewfinder and you can put anybody in there you want to. Amen. Come here, Beyonce knows, at the party, and what is it? Watch you do drunk in love, amen. Well, I got this viewfinder on, amen, somebody. I can go stand and hear the greatest leaders of the world talk, amen, in my viewfinder. I can hear the greatest preachers in the world in my viewfinder. But it just depends on where my mind is. We talking about real life and real talk, amen. And so now, not only that, when I was in school, amen, in 2008 before I got sick, I had to go back to school to finish. But at the end, when I thought I was getting ready to graduate, I applied to Duke University. And they allowed me to come on the campus, amen, and to walk around the classes and spend time with the students, amen, eat lunch with the professors and the students. But they took me to this cube, amen, that two of the Duke University students had created. I walked into this big, I looked like an outdoor building, amen. And they opened it up, and when I walked in, y'all know where I was? I was in the temple in Jerusalem. Let me say that again. When I walked in, I was in the temple in Jerusalem, amen. I walked to the front of it. I was in the outer court, amen, with the brazen label there. And I walked inside to the inner court, to the table of showbread, and all these things that I read about in the Bible. And then I went to the back in the holies of holies, where the mercy seat was sitting, and the angels were there, amen. And the glory, the Shekinah glory of God was symbolic with smoke coming down, amen. I was in heaven. I was in Jerusalem. Yeah. So I said all that to say this, you can take your mind and you can go anywhere with your mind, real life, real talk. And a lot of times our mind ain't stayed on Jesus. Let me say that again, our mind is not stayed on Jesus.
Amen.
Let me talk to you about some of the things that I saw that was going on. In my notes, as I began to look at it, I read about the wife of the gentleman from the Cleveland Browns. He was a professional football player. Him and his wife had just had a baby, that's Joy, ain't that right? And he had a flat tire, and they got out of the car to change the tire, and while he was changing the tire, a drunk driver hit his wife and killed her.
Oh, yeah.
Real life, real talk. See, we playing games up in the church when God has blessed us, but we don't think about people who, amen, who are really going through, amen. A good friend of mine, 54 years old, amen, thought he was the pillar of health, amen. 50 years old, died of a heart attack, all of a sudden, he gone. Y'all read about the man who, Sister Johnson and I were just talking about this, the man who killed his wife and his children. And buried them on his job site, amen, and went to work like nothing had happened. This is real life and real talk. See, while we playing church, while we acting like everything is all right, shouting and singing and clapping hands, there are people that are going through hell, amen. Not just outside the church, but folks in the church are getting it because we won't take time to find out the needs of our people and what they are going through. You don't know who's sitting beside you who may be hungry, they might be depressed, they might be tired, they might be ready to give up the ghost, they're tired of singing, they're tired of preaching. I just want my knees met because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, so it's time for real life, real talk. His text, he goes up and he sees what you call a spirit of jealousy. Spirit of jealousy comes sitting in the temple, y'all. Ain't nothing like I've seen in my life, real talk, Deacon Hall. There's some jealous Negroes in the church. Yeah, I said it.
Now when we step up to the mic and say it again, ain't nothing I've ever seen like jealous folk in the church. See, God, if God bless you, I know good sooner or later, he gonna come back and bless me. But if he don't bless me, he's still God. Because God has the power to show us that he's God. Lord have mercy. Spirit of jealousy, God is talking about Deuteronomy 32. When it says, when y'all go in the temple, don't bring no other gods in the temple because that should worship me and worship me only. No other gods before me. Because God is a jealous God. Do you know that the church is the bride of Christ? And when you go out and mingle with other folk and other gods, you are leaving God behind, and God is a jealous God. So he says he took me. He said, the Son of Man, and lifted up his eyes toward the north, and when he did that, he saw jealousy at the entrance. The ushers on the door were jealous, y'all. Then he said, God said to him, here it is. I hope y'all stay in y'all Bible, because I'm going to stay in line today. And that's the problem with the church I'm going at this afternoon. Most of us don't have no sense of what the Bible is saying because y'all won't take time to keep it open. Then y'all won't get a preacher opportunity to give you a good presentation of what God is trying to say to you on a particular time when you're in church. So you need to keep your Bible open. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 7. So he brought me to the door of the court. He brought me to the door, and when I looked in, look, there was a hole. Not that hole in the wall y'all used to go through. There's a hole in the wall. It said to me, son of man, dig in the wall. And when I dug in the wall, what happened?
Oh, the doorway.
That was the doorway. Now let me tell you this before I move on. Be very careful when you see something, people on the outside. Because man look at the outward appearance. But God looks at your heart. You have the Spirit of God on you. You don't have to ask a whole bunch of questions about people. Watch how they act, watch what they say, and watch what they do. Because a wolf can act like a sheep for a little while till it starts getting hot. Then he's going to unzip that sheep clothes, and you're going to see that. Yeah, you're going to see it. But he brought me to a hole. And when you're examining somebody else, and even when you're examining your own life, God's going to take you to a pinpoint place where you can see. And sometimes you think God is dealing with you about other folk, but sometimes he's dealing with you about yourself.
Amen.
Yeah, I know y'all didn't like that. Y'all like when we talk about somebody else. Get them, preacher. Tell them, preacher. They ought to be here today. Ain't that right? No. The right ones are here today. So he said when he looked in the hole, look, he looked in the hole in the wall. He said, son of man, dig into the wall. When he dug in the wall, there was a door. There was a secret entrance in the temple. Y'all hear me that?
Oh, yeah.
When he looked in the door, he said, go in and see the wicked abominations which are there. Look what happened when he went in there. He said, I saw all kinds of wicked abominations. Look what they were doing there. Look, in the temple.
Oh, yeah.
Remember last week, I was on the people. Ain't that right? But this week, I'm on the preachers.
All right.
I'm on the leaders. Yeah. I'm on the deacons. I'm on anybody that's in leadership today, I'm riding your back.
Okay.
Huh? Because you're at a different position to where you got to stop talking about being like God and knowing about God, and you need to know God.
Yes.
You need to act like God. You need to be an example of God in front of people.
Yeah.
Look what happened. He said, go in and see the wicked abominations which are there. And he said, I saw every sort of creeping thing. Y'all see it? Verse 10.
Amen.
Abominable beasts and all idols in the house of Israel. I know y'all don't like this type of preacher. Y'all like to shout and jump, don't you? But I'm going to dig this Holy Ghost knife in your flesh and twist it until you stop. Get out of your midst.
All right.
So I ever saw the creeping thing, abominable thing, look, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the wall. Now they in the temple of God with a secret door and a secret place, worshiping everything but God. Oh, Archie Gold, y'all right here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, dude. You come to Archie Gold, but you don't worship God. You'll come to Archie Gold and worship yourself. how good they preached today, how good they sang today, how clean the church was today, how good our program today. No, how good is the Lord.
Amen.
How wonderful.
Amen.
Come on. You can't lose. Verse 11, here it is, here it is. I'm going to talk through all this. He said he stood before the door, and there were 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. 70 men was indicative of the salvation of the Sanhedrin court, 70 or 72. And they were the ones who were supposed to be an example of godly leadership. But in the midst of them stood Azaniah, the son of Shaphan. Now, if you go back, this brother, when Josiah brought the great reform to Israel and tore down all the high places, this brother right here was one of the ministers at that time in the court. Amen. But now he's standing up with his sense of example of prayer. And they got this smoke going. And look, and it says there's a thick cloud of incense went up. That's see, right. that don't make sense to you, but we ought not to be praying to nobody but God. Amen. But church, real life, real talk, we don't talk to God until we get in trouble. We talk to everybody about everything else until we get in trouble. We'll say, come on, money, God, get me out of this thing. And you pray to your money until your money can't get you out. Because if you get sick enough, the doctor's medicine don't work. I don't care how many co-pays you pay. When the doctor walk away and shake his head, can't nobody do nothing about your situation but God. You don't believe it? Go to jail and depend on somebody to help you out. Sometimes can't nobody help you out but God. As a matter of fact, some folk glad when you get in trouble. Hey, your prayer partner, as long as you're doing well. But when you get sick, they're not going to come and see about you. When you get in trouble, they're not going to come and see about you. Thick cloud. The 12 said, the Son of Man, he said, the house of Israel, he said, every man in his room worshiping idols. Then they say, here they go. They said, the Lord don't see us. Lord have mercy. Do you not think that God don't see you in the midnight hour when you're doing your mess? Do you think that God don't look on the recesses of your heart when you sit in church, when preachers preach and they don't reverence God and they think they can preach over their life? Come here, Reverend William Carr, tell me what you told me about 12. The Reverend William Carr said to me, I don't care how good you preach, my brother, you can't out-preach your life.
Amen.
You can't out-preach your life. You can't out-pray your life. You can't out-sing your life. God don't recognize nothing but obedience. So real life, real talk, I just go. I'm telling you this morning to go ahead on and get yourself together.
Amen.
Yeah, I know y'all don't like me. Let's do it. I'm right.
Come on.
Then, look what it saw. Every man, he said, dog idols. They had forsaken God in the land. All their great abominations were there. Then he said he went to the gate, Brother Rogers, and the women were there, weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz was the fertility god. They said that they used to worship Tammuz because he was also the fertility god, Sister Lynette, and they gave him credit over the god of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now look what happened here. They said that Tammuz, when it was springtime and it was summertime, that meant that he was fertile and he was showing himself to be God. But when the wintertime came, he withered and he died. And all the vegetation died and everything around you died. Y'all know how wintertime is. Ain't nothing moving and everything looked dormant. And they started crying out for Tammuz. They forgot all about God. They done picked up their own God. And just in case y'all think that the men who were doing that stuff and the women who were doing that stuff, y'all doing the same thing today from the pulpit to the door, real life, real talk, let me get into you. I'm going on about my business. I just told you everybody in the role ain't what they say they are. Judge Judy asked one of her clients, one day, Judge Judy asked a defendant one day, and she said to him, you see me sitting up in this robe, don't you? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, who is this under the robe? He said, Judge Judy. He said, no, that's not what I mean. What do I have on under the robe? And she looked at her real funny. Judge Judy said, I can have a bikini on under here. I can have on a dress under here. And she said, I could even be naked under here. She was trying to tell him, you can't judge a book by its cover. Let me talk to you. From the pulpit through the door. Just cause somebody got a robe on, standing in the pulpit, I just told you, you don't know what's under that robe. There's a whole lot of folks got a robe on. Ain't nothing but the devil. They confused and they trying to tell you how to get your life together, and they standing there with the robe on, don't know whether they a man or whether they a woman.
Amen.
I'm gonna let that sink in for a while.
All right.
Standing in the pulpit, talking about God's people, shooting up, taking opioids, drinking liquor.
Not after service or before service. Some folk come out so drunk and so high, y'all running all over the church. I mean, he preached.
I guess he did. Y'all see it with the saints. I ain't want to say nothing, but I'm going to say it. Now, y'all know, when y'all have these gospel groups, when they come, y'all remember back in the day, they slick with it now. They take them a little nip before they get to church. But back in the day, you remember, I was a little boy outside, amen. When all the women was in the church with the preacher, and then they would go outside, take them a little drink, amen, and come back and rock your house.
Amen.
You don't know who you're dealing with. And you don't know who's dealing with you. Until you take this word of God and begin to measure them by this word, let it hasten on. So he brought me to the door of the house in the court, verse 16, and between the porch and the altar, the men were there. 25 men had their back, sister, to God, looking to the sun. I'm about to go real life, real talk. I'm about to go. Look, these men had turned their back on God, and they were standing on the temple porch looking toward the sun, not the S-O-N, they was looking at the S-U-N. God said that you ought not worship the creation, but you ought to worship the Creator. We're talking real life and real talk. You can't be holy in God's house, still treat folk any kind of way. You can't say that you belong to God, amen, and that you don't treat your neighbor right. You don't treat your husband right. You don't treat your wife right. You know, the preacher don't treat the people right, and the people don't treat the preacher right. You can't be of God. You can't be of God when you somewhere eat, and you know somebody besides you ain't got no food, and you ain't got heart enough to give them anything. I've been looking at y'all all this time, but I want to turn around and look up there, look at those behind me. Because just like they're out here, I want to make sure that you get a good understanding of what I'm trying to tell you today. Reverend Thompson cannot preach over Reverend Thompson life. If I can't love you the way God told me to love you, I might as well lay my Bible down and put my robe down. And if you can't sing unto love unto people, you might as well put your robe down and your hymnal down. Jesus, if you can't visit folk, go see about folk and pray for folk, you might as well lay your Jesus ship down. Trust me, if you can't come in the house of God and do what God called you to do and make sure that the house of God is in order, you got to step aside and let somebody come in that's going to do what they do. Preachers, you always got to be ready to preach. Always giving an answer to God for those who are out there who have no hope. You ain't got time to be getting yourself together. You already got to be together. To tell folks that one day that he died, amen. And one day he got up with all power in his hand, amen. Real life. I'm done. I'm having a conversation with you today.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't leave this church in your mess.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people that I have preached sermons to and had it manuscript out, and for some reason I couldn't preach it? I was just, God was just talking. I was just listening, Deacon Turner, and then I was just saying what God said, like I did for y'all here today. Some of y'all sitting here, y'all heard me today. That God has the power to show you that he's God.
Amen.
Keep on playing with God, and he don't show you that he's God.
Amen.
If you keep playing with God, God will put you in a situation where only God can get you out of it. Y'all hear me now? And God will take away everything and everybody
that you put over him.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to tell y'all is, don't be trying to lift Reverend Thompson to heaven. No, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
If you lift him and if you live right, Reverend Thompson will be just fine. Y'all gotta stop lifting these preachers up. Stop lifting up these things. Stop glorifying each other, because we, our righteousness is as filthy.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all don't like this kind of preaching, do you? God has me in the prophet. Listen to me. God has me in the prophet, Sister Eve. I didn't understand, Sister Rachel, why I was in the prophet. Let me tell you why I'm in the prophets and I'm gone. I'm in the prophets now because folk are killing each other.
Yeah.
Not at a rapid rate.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And folk that you thought wouldn't do anything, those are the ones that do it.
That's right.
Not only that, folks are OD and on drugs. It's always been that way. We know that. We know when it was us, when nobody was saying that, but I'm telling you, it's become an epidemic and it become worldwide.
Yeah.
Let me give you one more. People been smoking cigarettes as long as I can remember. Ain't that right?
Oh, yeah.
But the devil has ramped up the game. He got folk what you call vaping. I'm gonna talk some real life, real talk.
Yeah,
there's some folks here on the side of my boy, he cool ripped up. We done drank a whole lot of stuff we had no business drinking.
Amen.
We done smoked a whole lot of stuff we had no business smoking.
Amen.
We done slept with some folks we had no business. Just us, but even in the church. I just told you, preachers hooked on alcohol because the congregation has driven them crazy. They on drugs, about to walk away from the church, ready to fight the people. Nah, you done messed up, man. You done messed up, woman. You done missed the whole course. You just called to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Deacon's mad with the preacher. Preacher mad with the demons. Folk mad with the preacher. And then when you mad with the preacher, you can't get nothing out the preacher.
Amen.
And he mad with you, and you don't do nothing but spill hate on you.
That's right.
Lord, have mercy. Oh, I got it, bro.